It's about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. And then tonight we are again reminded here in verses 9 and 10 that you and I are not appointed to wrath. And hallelujah for that great truth. Notice verse 9, where we finished off last week. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So we'll just be looking at those two verses tonight. Our title is Not Appointed to Wrath. Lord, give us wisdom. May the Holy Spirit speak to each of our hearts through your powerful word tonight. May you be lifted up and glorified. We are truly grateful for this opportunity to worship you, to study together, and to pray together one for another. And Lord, we commit it all unto you, your capable hands, and thank you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So this great promise here in verse 9 is really a double promise, if you will. And we'll talk about both aspects. We're not only saved from wrath when it comes to our destiny, which is to go to hell without Christ, but we're also saved from the wrath of the tribulation period, looking at coming events. In both cases, if you're a born-again Christian, you're not appointed to wrath, which is great news. Hallelujah. So first, let's talk about the most important, and that is the wrath of hell. If you look over in chapter 1 of our book, 1 Thessalonians, verse 10, again it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So there again, we're told that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. So this wrath, if you go to John chapter 3, verse 36, abides on every non-believer. If anyone ever asks you the question, what do you have to do to go to hell? The answer is nothing. You're already going. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. Now notice John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Notice that's present tense. Not will have, but hath now. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the wrath of God already abides on the unsaved. And of course, that wrath is punishment for sin, payment for sin, however you want to word it. Let's look at another scripture, Matthew 25, verse 46. Jesus describes hell as punishment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, which makes it that much more sad when Jesus tells us that wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and yet it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Being rescued from the wrath of God is a gift. So many people are going to reject that gift because of sin. How sad. Matthew 25, 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That is the culmination of the wrath of God upon sinful man, is to go into everlasting punishment. It is horrible just to think about it, isn't it? And yet, those who essentially reject Christ, I was going to say don't accept Christ, but by not accepting Christ, you're rejecting Christ. This is their destiny. But if you're a born-again Christian, go to Romans 5:9. The Bible makes it very clear that we have been saved from the wrath of God, which is to go to hell, everlasting punishment. We have been rescued from that wrath through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That word justified means declared righteous. Not because we have done anything righteous, but because the righteousness of Jesus Christ gets applied to our account, gets imputed to us. And so we're not only made righteous, but we're actually justified, which means we are declared completely sinless. It's amazing to think about. Justification is a beautiful doctrine. That's the two sides of it, isn't it? If you get saved, not only are you forgiven, but you're even justified. If you don't get saved, wrath, the wrath of God abides on you and will be culminated in hell. And so that's what he means. We're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Salvation rescues us from wrath. And it not only rescues us from the wrath of hell, but as we've been talking, it also rescues us from the wrath of the coming tribulation. Now, how do we know that it's wrath? Well, the Bible tells us so. So let's look at Isaiah 13:9. Look at a couple of scriptures. Remember last week we saw that the day of the Lord, which is talked about way all through the Old Testament many, many times, is a description of a dispensational period that begins with the rapture and is that primarily that seven-year period of God pouring out his wrath upon this earth. He's primarily punishing the Jewish people for rejecting Christ, but he's also pouring it out upon the entire earth. And you can read about it, details about it, in Revelation chapter 6 to 18. But notice Isaiah 13:9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." So there we know that the day of the Lord is a time of wrath. Let's look at another one, Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah, which is about three books back from the end. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. "The great day of the Lord is near." So we've got our context. "It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath." So no question that this day of the Lord that God is talking about here is a day of wrath. It says a day of trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, and thick darkness. Aren't you thankful you've been saved from it? And that's what he tells us here in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that if you have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been rescued from the wrath of hell, but you've also been rescued from this wrath, this coming wrath that will be God pouring out his anger upon the earth, primarily upon the Jewish people, but everyone else is going to experience it as well, that is on the earth at the time. Another proof, like we saw, we looked at the seven reasons, was it 2 weeks ago or maybe 3 weeks ago? At least seven biblical reasons why the church cannot go into the tribulation period. And this is one of them, because it's a time of wrath. Wrath was poured out upon Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen? God's wrath that was due to man was poured out upon Jesus. You read it in Isaiah 53, where it talks about that his soul was given as an offering for sin. And that it said when he saw his suffering, God was satisfied. If the church goes into the tribulation period, which some silly people believe, I don't know why they want to go into it so badly, but there are some who do. We are the body of Christ, are we not? We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So that would mean that the church would be in the tribulation period and God would be pouring out his wrath on his son yet again. But it was once for all. So that was one of the reasons we came up with a few weeks ago why the church cannot go into the time of wrath. Because we've been rescued from it. Amen? So that's verse 9. We've not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. And salvation is only, as we all know, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then Paul here in verse 10 reminds us about this beautiful salvation that it all started with the death of our Savior. Notice it says, who died for us. His death was payment for what we owe. The wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did they die physically that when they took the fruit? No. But they did die spiritually. They did become separated from God by sin. They were banished from the garden. No longer were they walking with God in the cool of the day. That was gone. They did die. And every person since is born dead. Their spirit is dead. When Jesus died, he died for us, as it says here. Notice Romans 5:8. Did I already have you turn there? Romans 5:8. Most of you know it by heart. It's part of the Romans road. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He died for us. And then 1 Corinthians 15:3. Turn over there quickly. Paul here defining the simple gospel for us. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for us. Jesus gave himself for us voluntarily. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It was voluntary. Why? Why did he die for us? Because we deserve to die. And that's why when we share the gospel with people, we always start with sin and the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell, which we've been rescued from through Jesus Christ. So it says here in verse 10, he died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Again, double meaning. Live together with him. Not only here on earth, when you get saved, do you live together with Christ, but if you're born again, you're going to live together with him forever. Hallelujah. So another beautiful double meaning here, that we will live together with Jesus from the time we're born again for eternity. So here on earth, we live with him, not in our sinless bodies yet, but he does indwell us in the person of the Holy Ghost. Notice Galatians 2:20, if you would. Paul here talking about this great truth that now that we are Christians, our lives are to be lived through Christ. That's why we're told Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So there Paul is saying, this new life that I have, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus is living it through me. Who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. And then another one, Colossians 1:27, if you want to turn over there. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says that one of the seven mysteries of the New Testament is that Jesus actually lives in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. That's a huge mystery. We believe it. We know it's true. We've experienced it. But still, try to explain it to a child. How that God can indwell every Christian, but also be in heaven, but also be everywhere. It's not so easy to explain, but we know it's true. It's a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the life that now we live, the salvation that we've been given through Jesus Christ, that rescued us from the wrath of hell, rescued us from the wrath of the coming tribulation period, through the death of Jesus Christ, now that we have Christ, we live through him and we will live together with him. John 14:3, let's turn there and see how long we'll live with him. Most of you know this verse. It's the end of that great passage, chapters 14, 1 through 3. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't you love verses like that? That we will be with Jesus Christ. For how long? Well, that's been answered in the previous chapter, 1 Thessalonians. So we'll finish in chapter 4, verse 17 tonight. This great passage on the rapture, which we looked at a few weeks ago. Just before Paul said to comfort one another with these words, what did he say? Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, here it is, shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We will live together with him for how long? Forever. So our precious Lord, through the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, has delivered us from wrath. Because he died for us, rose again for us, and gave us a new life that we now live through him here on earth, and we will live with him for eternity. Those who do not have Christ have some double wrath to face, sadly. 3/4 of the earth dies in tribulation period. The majority of those are probably unsaved. So not only would they have to face a tribulation period wrath here on earth, physical wrath, but then when they die, they have to face eternal wrath in hell. They need Christ. Amen? If you're a born-again believer, you've not been appointed to wrath. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. This beautiful reminder tonight, what you've done for us through our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for our life through him. Thank you that we know that our hope is that we will be with him forever. Thank you for saving us from the wrath of hell and the wrath of the tribulation. I pray, Lord, that we'd be motivated to warn others as well, that they also could find salvation in Christ, in whose name we